So this one are some papers. This one is very interesting, in my opinion. And it's fine. And I guess it is interesting because you have the base of all the stuff I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you. So after there is a second paper. Okay, well, I just started.
That's also one steak.
Right.
Okay, I will be very fast. Okay, this paper, this one is interesting because of they start calculating gravitational waves in this transition. So there is after a second paper, but by Mariano Quiroz and Andrea Wulzer, same here, and I will speak also about that. And after that, there is a series of paper with Thomas Constantine, myself, and Mariano again. So, or 11, I guess. No, 10. And after, other papers by Thomas. Okay, ta-ta-ta, with Gerardin. In my opinion, they're also interesting, but I will not speak much about that. And after, there is a one, which I will tell you in the end, why, in my opinion, it's interesting, by Mark Russell and collaborators. OK, I don't write down, otherwise the time goes on. But basically, of this year. So good, let's start. So just to, since you have arrived now, everybody, and basically, 2 weeks ago, I was asked to give a sketch of the electroweak phase transition in Anderson-Drum models. Here I am. I will be a bit sloppy, because I guess that what I want to do is actually to trigger discussion. And if you don't discuss, very bad. But in any case, I want to give you the sketch of the idea of the mechanism. So let's start with basic stuff, or maybe not so basic. And basically, we can start imagining that we have in a five-dimensional model, a five-dimensional space. And this space, there is a border. This space, we call it M. And there is a border of this manifold, which is what we call ultraviolet. And it's, in the end, it will be the ultraviolet brain in Anderson-Drum models. And here we have a space, which is Minkowski. I call here the metric G, X, but ultraviolet. And since this submanifold is four dimension, the usual one, where you have 1 + 3 dimensions. And here you have the fifth dimension. And we call this coordinate y. And so this is the space. And what we are going to do is to write down the action of gravity in this manifold, this space. So basically,
no infrared brain.
Oh, so no, at the moment no. You don't need it. But
should I hide and
wait? So I'm writing down the action of gravity. And here we have something that, the usual manifold, the integration of the manifold. Plus some terms at the border. I don't specify because this is not important, but you have some terms, basically the Lagrangian here, localized.
Sorry, what is the factor in the front?
M, which is the five-dimensional Planck mass. M, so okay, maybe okay. This one is the five-dimensional scalar tensor, scalar curvature. This one is it's a cutoff, but it plays a role of a cosmological constant. Okay, but in any case, here it will play a role of the cutoff, and it's related to the ultraviolet brain.
Kappa is also like a mass scale.
Yes. And okay, so basically this is our setup. This space and this option. And what you want to do is to find the metric satisfying the equation of motions of this action. And what you get is the usual stuff. This is, so we have that the element of the x square is basically y and eta mu nu, okay. Plus, fine. So, yes.
I mean, the action looks very wrong. Maybe I'm being stupid, but why does it single out the y leverage?
Sorry.
Is it obvious that this?
Do you want to? Okay, using by this parameterization of the space. Okay, I don't know if it answers. Basically, here what you have is the measure, which is this one. In this parameterization, the y, and clearly g, which is the five-dimensional metric. And here, what you have is the x and g ultraviolet. I'm calling by little g the induced metric on this brain. So which means that basically I can write here.
Okay, but how do I know that k points in y direction? Is that stupid?
That's Planck construction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You specify the metric, and that's specifying your geometry, isn't it? You say where there's boundary conditions.
No, but it is a choice of, I mean, it has ADS symmetry, so it is a choice of coordinates, basically. It's not really interesting in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and now you can see something interesting, and it's related to what Pedro was saying. But basically, if you see here, you can check that this metric actually allows you to include also a second brain here at the position that I call Y infrared. And because of the possibility of including this brain here, basically what you can add is an extra term here, which is this time the board of the manifold at the infrared, that brain. And again, some terms, okay? Where here the metric, the measure of this integration is the x and g infrared. This is the induced metric, okay, g evaluated at y infrared.
It is obvious to see that you can add another infrared brain. Why?
Well, okay, partially I'm trying to go fast, okay? And basically it's not so obvious, but because here, what you have to do, you cannot put a brain here, but what after, when you want to do the variation of the metric in order to study the equation of motions, you have some boundary conditions at the border. So in order that the variation, this metric satisfies the variation also at the border, you have a kind of Israel junction conditions. Okay. Israel, the one working gravity, junction, because conditions. Which is equivalent, okay. So, yes, I mean, you can have it, okay? It's not the most generic stuff you can put here.
So I mean you can add it without distorting the metric.
Exactly. That's the point.
That's some other kind of thing, you might mess up the metric.
Yeah. You have to set, okay. These terms impose some boundary conditions here and here. Okay? And you have to write some specific terms here and here in order to allow this metric to be there. So, but what interesting part is that basically the term that you are allowed to write here doesn't specify you the exact value of y infrared. So basically at the moment you know that this matrix can have a brain localized here that we are fixing in this convention, let's say y. Okay, what you have not way to fix here is the distance between these two brains, okay? Any distance of these two brains is allowed by this metric. So that's the reason, basically, that any position of the brain is allowed. So at the moment, the value of y infrared is a free parameter, free and not fixed. Actually, it's a flat direction at the moment. Okay, finished. So now, just to confuse ourselves, I wrote something that basically, in order to go on, okay, what is inspiring what I'm going to say is the stuff that this theory, you can use the duality. So basically, what is saying this duality is, but okay, just to confuse you, is basically that this theory, basically, is equivalent to a 4D gauge theory in this space here, localized here. Okay, where the metric is the new metric, Minkowski we want. And this one is equivalent, this is the partition function. This partition function in four dimension is equivalent to the partition function of the space of gravity. Basically, over here you have the measure on all metrics with a boundary condition because you want that this metric. In order to have the duality, this metric has to have an induced metric here equal to G ultraviolet, the Minkowski one. So I can write that basically your variation, you have a constraint on the variation, which is that you have to have that induced metric. So basically you're imposing that G at the border. G. Ultraviolet, this one has to be what I wrote. And okay, and here you have. Okay, that's deduction. So now, okay, I repeat again and again. You have to use that relation, but the constraint is that you are doing integration on all metrics that have as boundary condition this space, G ultraviolet X. So now we are going to, let's go to final temperature. We switch on the temperature. So as usual, what you do is you have to compactify the time. So now this metric, G, is not the usual Minkowski, but is because the usual, SU1 cross times the R3. Okay, is it clear? Okay, I'm not very clear, but if you know, maybe you can follow me. Okay, so again, we have to repeat the same stuff, right? And we can go and we can check what are the metrics that satisfy that are the extremum, the extrema of this action. at zero temperature, we already know the extremum. It's that metric. But at final temperature, where the induced metric is compactified at time, the induced metric compactified, we don't know. And indeed, we can see that there are two metrics satisfying the minimizing the action, and having as G with the time look compactified as boundary condition here. And these metrics are this one. Okay, you have these two metrics. So one is what I call Randall-Sundrum, a metric Randall-Sundrum. Okay, I'm going to conformal coordinates, but okay. That's basically the same of I'm writing there, where the time is compactified. By the way, Euclidean time now. Where the z coordinate goes from L, 1 over kappa, to a value.
Can you remove the white thing?
No. Ah. Do you mean remove?
No, please not.
Let me just start it below.
Oh, yeah, right below.
And here, what I call the infrared, which is what I have after we call, because I will change again the notation later, the coordinate. Yes, infrared. Okay, so this is one. But now we have also a second metric, which is anti-theta Schwarzschild. And this metric?
So Z is Y, or what?
Since I'm basically this stuff, I'm changing the coordinates. It's the conformal. And basically, this stuff is this stuff. So I'm changing Y into Z.
Oh, Z is like 2KY?
Basically, you see that these metrics are very similar.
It's the same.
Yeah, but I'm changing the coordinates. Yeah, but with the difference that here I have also compactified the time, but basically it's the same.
It's the coordinate from one to the other, right?
Yeah. So you have a second solution. Okay, where Z this time goes from, sorry, this one was L. From L basically in this coordinate is the position of this brain, to, okay, Z has to be between L and theta CH, which is basically the position in this direction of the horizon of this metric, because this one is a black hole metric. Okay. Okay, so we can see the difference between when we switch on the temperature, we have not just one metric satisfying this stuff, but we have two metrics. So for what concerns the path integral I was writing, the potential function, actually you have two solutions, which actually means that you have what we will call later two phases. But, okay, something important. Here, you cannot write in this metric that this brain. So basically, this brain can be here only in this case. When you are going this phase, that metric has to be, that brain has to be at infinite, far away. Far away or not existing, depends.
Another stupid question. What if you do real-time formalism?
I like your stupid questions. I don't know at the moment. Okay. So since you have the action and you have the solution, you can calculate the free energy, basically the potential, right, at the minimum. And you have that for Randall's syndrome, your free energy at the minimum, okay, when you are in on shell, it's minus 24 ml cube. Okay, to the 4, while in the case of the anti-discretized forcing, the free energy is again minus 24 ml cube k to the 4 minus p to the 4th. So here, okay, these terms are equal, which means that as far as you have a temperature different from zero, the free energy having less, okay, the stable phase is this one, because you have this term. Okay. And this is a problem, because okay, now I'm going to a sector that I don't know very, very well, but basically, if you, by using that interpretation of the duality, basically this phase is equivalent to a conformal phase where everything is massless. Okay, you are, okay, take it, okay, we can discuss later better, but the point is that physically, we can't, we are not living this phase, right? So. And the point is that if you start from a universe that has a temperature, you expect that you start in this phase because it's the real phase, the minimum, or the real stable phase, which means that we are still here because you cannot escape, right? Because roughly speaking, okay, who is not seeing what I'm saying? Good.
So you're saying ADS is conformal.
Yes, this
so
one.
So that's the massless phase, that
yes.
Unbroken electroweak symmetry, quote unquote, and we'd always stay there because you're always at lower temperature.
Exactly.
Except at T equals zero, which we never reach.
Yes. So.
Unless, or if there's some tunneling.
Yeah, but okay, but this yes, okay.
Okay, but okay, so that's a problem.
Yeah. Is it better, Björn, now? Okay, yes. Okay, in any case, I guess that I'm sketching ideas, and after all this stuff, in my opinion, is at the border of the knowledge of my knowledge and the border of the knowledge of a lot of people, okay? Because, for example, in order to to study this stuff, you have to believe a bit in the duality. It's a mechanism that is necessary, but it's a duality that's not really the duality of string theory, and so on. So in my opinion, this stuff is interesting because it's actually a new idea, okay, completely different from what I studied, let's say. But since it is so at the border of the knowledge, and my knowledge, it can be completely wrong, right? So it's maybe a breakthrough or a bullshit.
Just remember, you're being recorded.
Yes, but I repeat, it's at the border of my knowledge.
So oh, that part I wasn't worried about.
Okay. But okay, sometimes you have to try to do hard stuff in order to really understand or to try to understand very new things. Okay, so clearly this is a problem. But now let's come back and let's observe something interesting. We have said that here, the brain, when you are in this phase, this white infrared is not fixed. So this is a further problem, because it means that this direction, any point, you can put the brain at any point, and this solution of the question of motion, since you can put at any point is equivalent, putting the brain at any point is equivalent, it means that it's a flat direction, which means that it's a massless mode, a ghost tone. So the first point, the first, let's leave this problem here for a while. And the point is that, okay, it's well known, we have to stabilize this distance. And the one well-known way is Goldberg-Weiss. So, since I guess, okay, Goldberg-Weiss. In any case, I'm not going to explain Goldberg-Weiss, but basically the idea is that you put a 5D field, scalar field, and with some conditions on at the borders here, and what you generate is a potential for this distance. But just to give you, okay, because after I have to use some parameters, so Goldberg-Weiss implies some parameters that are basically this one, epsilon, which is related to the mass of the ghost on of the Goldberg-Weiss scalar field. Four. And after, at the boundary condition here, you also have this one parameter, B1, which is related to the boundary condition of the Goldberg-Weiss field at this brain. And you have also this term, which is adiatuning, okay, another term localized here. So these are the three parameters we will have.
But what are the units? Are they all dimensionless?
No.
So sorry. So
yes.
So T is the tension on the.
Yes, it's the tuning of the tension.
On the L is the. What is L?
Okay, I write here. Okay.
I mean the position of the IR brain or?
It's, okay, I write so I guess that you will have the answer you want. The action of Goldberg-Weiss, okay, is given by M, G, M, N. This one is the Goldberg-Weiss field, and phi plus M squared, phi squared. Yeah, I agree. And now, infrared, and here you have some terms, okay, which a localized term, okay, which includes basically the local term of the Goldberg-Weiss field here. Plus, you can have also a k to the 4 delta t 1. Yes, this one.
It's like a
grain
cosmological constant.
Yeah, it's the in Reynolds syndrome. You have that. You have to fix the the term here, the border, to be equivalent to the. It's not, I have not the action, but the k in the bulk. Okay. So here, since you are starting to put other stuff, you can introduce a small detuning. Okay. So,
where is your L?
But L is 1 over K?
Yes, yeah.
Because you rewrote the metric.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, because otherwise in the barbecue. So, okay, and here you have the here you have the V1. So then the extra parameters will be basically epsilon, which is a function of M squared, V1, and this delta T1. And
delta
T1 is okay. When I wrote the action at the beginning, right, I wrote something like in the bulk L squared plus 12, I guess, or maybe 6, K 2 squared.
Yes.
Yes, in the bulk, 12 K squared, plus a term localized at the border, on the brain. And this term I didn't specify, but yet there it is. So, fine, but basically I can write an extra parameterization, but maybe it's not so important to write explicitly. I can write rewrite the parameters. Okay, I rewrite these parameters as a function of theta, v, and ni, and epsilon, okay? Epsilon will be, and basically in this, new parameterization of these quantities. I can write explicitly, but maybe it's not so highlighting. Basically, what you have to impose, right, is that, okay, you have you are starting with a metric. You add in this field, and you want that the creation of this field on the metric to be small. So basically, what you are imposing in this unknown parameterization for you. Okay, but I have some plot with this parameter, so. Huh? Okay, smaller than one, okay? So basically you have some conditions in order to avoid the large backreaction of this this field. So, now. This part is important here because now you're modifying these phases. You have the contribution coming from this field. So, in the end.
Confused about that.
I mean.
So basically, you are in the two. I just right now I forget about the electric vehicle phase transition. I only talked about confining,
Concorded
phase transition, which in the 5D language, they go from the RS to the ADS Schwarzschild.
Yes.
And basically, so this is from the origin paper by Nicholas and Ratazzi.
Yes. Okay. There was also Witten before, eh?
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then basically. Here you talk about it, your paper with Quiros, which you
okay. Not yet.
I know that this is.
If you want, okay.
So well, yeah. Now you talked about the effects of the Goldberg YZ in the
run. The free energy.
Yes.
So then
because after the step to connect this with electric phase transition will be very fast. Okay. And okay, and what?
Let's see.
Well, but more questions? Okay, so. Now, basically, by writing everything a bit implicitly, you have an extra effect here due to Goldberg-Wise. I'm sketching the idea, so that's the reason. Because the important point is that basically what you are writing here is that now the difference between the two phases, the difference of the free energy in the two phases, will be given by defined as F anti-Zeta Schwarzschild plus Olbrich Weiss minus the free energy of Randall-Sundrum plus Olbrich Weiss. Okay, will be given by a potential of the Goldberg due to the Goldberg Weiss field, which is a function of mu infrared. Mu infrared, okay, here, right?
Yep.
Minus p square n square 4 t to the fourth 1 plus mu. Okay?
What is n?
N is, I read here the conventions. N is 16, okay.
Just so you packed people larger than
t? No, I'm not using that at the moment. Okay, that if you want, it's behind to believe on the duality, that's n to be large. Right? But at the moment, okay. I'm writing n because it's a, okay, it's like 6 pi square.
Oh, it's just a number, no?
M L to the square, but okay, I have it, sorry. Indeed, what I'm writing here is connected to that language, okay?
Yeah.
But here, in the end, if you wanted not to believe to that language, right, at the beginning and the action, you had M and L, okay? And you can express everything as function of ML. I'm writing here N because, because it's going to... So you have that. And so basically you can see that here your
mu is the position of the
mu infrared is the position of the brain. The mi, right, since I'm speaking in the minimum, okay, it's mu tev, which is where mu tev is the minimum of the potential Goldberg Weiss, which is a function of mu infrared. Okay.
So it's
the
solution.
Yes. So fine. The point is that now there you had the problem that we discussed before, but now you have some extra terms. So that problem is resolved. Indeed, the potential has changed the shape, and I will show you a bit the shape of the potential of the free energy. I mean, but basically, okay, I wanted just to stress that that problem is now overcome. And basically, okay, now something that it was asked 1 week ago, basically you wanted to describe the free energy of the system, right? Basically you have that the free energy where you are not only including the two phases, but you need to be also in, let's say that. Now, what I want to do is to study the phase transition. In order to study the phase transition, I need to study to know the path of the bounds connecting the two minima. In order to study the bounds, to know the bounds, I need to know the free energy of the system where there is this free energy when you are in the framework where you have the infrared brain and that metric, and you have this metric in the first case, and this free energy in the second case.
Germano?
Yes.
Do we know it's a first order phase transition?
Yes, because I can write it explicitly. Okay. Yes.
It's okay.
No, but. I mean, not explicit, but the shape, basically, okay, the free energy along the path of the bounce, okay, has this shape. Okay, where on the right here, I'm writing the free energy of Randall-Sundrum plus Colbert-Weiss. So if you want, it's a function of mu infrared. And this point, the minimum, is what I called here mu tev. And here on the left, okay, I'm expressing everything a function of a variable, which is present here, which has a minimum here, doesn't matter. So basically, the profile of the effective bounce has this shape. So, and by decreasing the temperature, what you are doing is to put this minimum, you are increasing, and putting it on the right.
Sorry, what is the TH?
Sorry? TH?
No,
T?
Yeah.
T is the position of the, T is the temperature of the black hole, and of this phase, okay? And moreover, it is also the position of TH at the minimum of the potential of the free energy of anti-Schwarzschild forcing.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, yes. Is that generic? No matter what you do for V, Goldberger-Wise?
No, that was...
Do you always have this kind of shape with some barrier between the two phases?
Can
you stabilize the position of the IR brain without a barrier?
Okay, good. People, basically, I can summarize a bit. Here we are studying the case of the Goldberg-Weiss with small back reaction. In the paper with Thomas and Mariano, there was the case where the back reaction could be a bit larger, and in both cases the shape is more or less that one. After, there is a different paper by Mark Russell where they are obtaining something similar. Okay, but they are not within Goldberg-Weiss. And in such a case, they are obtaining something similar, but where the profile is different. So, okay, fine. But this one, okay, maybe
so
we can
change the profile, but we don't know if it's ever possible that a transition not admit a bounce solution. That's I guess what I'm wondering. Is that generic to the?
No, it's not generic.
Right. So what, you know, in four dimensions we have these criteria for when you have a bubble solution or not. What is there an analogous criteria in this setup?
But also in 4D, in order to study if there is a transition or not, you have to have the free energy to know the study the bounds to study if the transition occurs or not. Right. So and it depends. It depends on the profile of potential. Here you have the same. If you have a completely different profile, maybe the transition doesn't occur. So.
Right, I think Michael's main question is that, for instance, the famous paper by Lisa Randall and Gerardin, I mean, which they claim that for those always have a super strong first order phase transition, which gives you gravitational waves, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, just from the mechanism here, it sounds to us that it doesn't really always, you know, imply a strong first order.
That's what I'm trying to understand. What's intrinsic to getting a first order phase transition in this setup?
Or it just depends on different
choice of the potential and the parameters.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the question.
Very wise. But in the small generalization with a bit larger back reaction, and in the case of Mark Russell, you are still obtaining that stuff.
Yeah. So far, every example is you're saying every
Goldberg
example
wise.
Is
yes.
given this kind of.
Yes.
Scenario. The question is, could you ever set it up so that you didn't?
But I could jump back very naively in thinking about, for example, the QCD confinement or all of those.
Yeah,
things.
Strong phase transitions
right,
don't
right.
have to be.
Right, exactly.
Confining phase transitions don't have to be first order.
Yeah,
clearly,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So basically, it seems just from the dual future, nothing to support you to have an extremely strong first order phase transition at all.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess your question at the moment is the same to say, given a Higgs potential with coupled with something, do you have a strong word-to-face transition? Don't. And the answer is depend on how you build your theory.
Right. So I guess what Jing said more clearly.
Yeah.
Because of the dual nature, we know in SUN.
Or yes.
We have confined phase transitions, and we know in QCD it's not.
It's a second order. On the NC and LF.
Right, and so on the scale, and so. Is it possible with, you know, if you work in the dual theories, to see that
for
you don't have
a well-known, you have a phase diagram those kinds.
Well, usually you have a phase diagram, but it's versus some density, right?
Yeah.
You know, so there will be some analog in the dual theory, presumably. But you're saying so far, and what people have studied, it's always been this kind of
yes. And. And now I'm thinking, okay, the point is that I used this stuff. I remember some sentences. Okay, we can maybe discuss later, but
I understand.
There may be an intuition why this situation is more generic than what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I guess that there is an idea.
I have another question. So where
No, wait. There is a paper that I didn't mention. By Natalia Toro and company, where at some point there is, if I remember correct, there is a paragraph where they're a bit discussing.
No, actually, I read their paper. There is a very strange comment in
there. Exactly. I'm just saying to
the comment.
The point is that I don't remember because.
Let's hear what the comment is before we debate the comment.
Exactly.
So.
No, the point is that since I did this stuff 5 years ago, I remember that there was that paragraph, but I don't remember exactly.
Well, what it said. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm proposing that to the audience that is interesting. That maybe later we go, and if you want to, we read and we start to listen.
And you disagree with that comment in that paper?
I think
what is the comment saying?
I think they just claim that for any kind of composite things for phase transition, it's always the first order or something. I don't remember.
It would be hard to believe because in QCD we know it's not. Right, so.
I mean, they write a small paragraph of something and they never explain.
What I'm saying that in order to comment this paragraph, I need to read it again because I don't remember the details.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting point we should find
out. Yeah, because I vaguely remember a long time ago, once I meet with them, I ask and then I reach a conclusion.
Ah, okay.
But that's a long time ago, so.
Okay, but time is almost over, and I thought that everything
would
be
faster. I forgot to ask you this question, so.
Let's do that at the end, because I guess that some people are bored about this stuff. If you agree, if it is not something really important.
Very quick question. So what is something particular special about the Schwarzschild phase?
Anti-de Schwarzschild.
Yeah, is that corresponding to a particular position at your y direction, or is
No, it's just there's a horizon.
Right.
And there's no IR brain
yes.
in the horizon.
Right. So basically, in your plot there, it sounds like the changing parameter.
Yes,
the,
if you want, okay.
So it's not exactly,
The bounce, the profile of the bounce, if you want to have a picture, is equivalent to you start with you start in one phase, for example, under the theta Schwarzschild, where you have the ultraviolet brain here and the black hole horizon here.
Yeah.
And what is the profile of the bounce saying is basically what they're doing along the bounce is to move the horizon to infinite.
Yeah.
Fine. At the infinite, what you can have is that you switch the infrared brain that was at infinite with the horizon, and you can because it's at infinite. And from infinite, now you're taking back moving the infrared brain to a finite position, which is this one.
So can I very, very naively just say that it corresponds to the IR brain position at the infinity, or
again, sorry.
And I just very, very naively think of that the ADS Schwarzschild solution just roughly the the IR brain answer in your
No. Exactly.
It's a different solution, form of the solution. There's a singularity in ADS, and there isn't in RS, right? So you have the location of the singularity is moving, and at the same time you can pull the what would be the solution in the other phase, that IR brain inside the horizon.
Yeah, okay. So one phase, okay. This ultraviolet brain is always there. And in the Randall syndrome phase, you have the infrared brain there. And in the anti-distance far field, you have the black hole horizon.
Yeah.
And once the infrared brain is basically on the right of the black hole horizon, you forget it, okay?
I know, but then the issue is whether or not you can find some intermediate, place which is extrapolated to. Otherwise, it's difficult for us to judge that how you can go from one to the other, and also whether or not.
What do you mean? I mean, these are like two minima, right? We don't ever live in between the two minima. You're in one or the other, right?
I have this picture where the infrared brain pops out of the black hole and that feels...
Pops out of the black hole.
Yeah, but okay.
I mean, okay, it happens at infinity, so maybe
yes.
It's all fine, but...
Yeah, that's okay. The reason because, okay, by maybe it's a sloppy argument, but the reason because in principle, you can say, why are you not switching along the bounds, switching the position of the brain with the black hole at finite distance? And the reason is that basically you can study the free energy also in this case. And what you see is that, okay, you can imagine that, that you need a jump in the free energy in order to bring the brain through the black hole. Okay, basically you study free energy, you have discontinuity. So imagine that you have a bounce going along a discontinuity. That bounce is really improbable. While if you are going to infinite, the bounce, the profile of the potential along the bounce is smooth. Fine? Okay. If you want, here, basically, I'm writing everything. The free energy, if you want, the value of free energy, in as a function of where I'm evaluating at the same time new infrared and TH, good? Where TH is the parameter related to the distance of the horizon. And basically what you see is that, okay, this one is, let's say, free energy, super off shell, which includes the Randall syndrome phase and anti-distance phase at the same time. You have all the gravity variations. Okay? And here, basically, you can see that in this part, you are in the anti-distance phase. And this part, Randall syndrome. And this line is when you have that the infrared brain has the same position of the black hole. And if you study the free energy here, you have discontinuity, all here, right? It's okay, the picture is that you are bringing a brain through the black hole. But here, since it is at infinite, there is not such example. There is no discontinuity. And basically, the profile of the bounce I'm plotting here is a bounce going from this phase, and going along this direction, and along this direction. Okay.
Oh, so in other words,
yes.
You're going around the barrier by going to infinity and back, rather than going through the barrier, which is along that line of equal ZIR equals ZH.
Yes.
And that is a lower energy solution than tunneling directly through the barrier.
There is no theorem proving that.
But okay. that's what the bounce corresponds to.
Yes.
Is going out to infinity then coming back.
Yes.
That's a really helpful picture.
Okay.
Depends on how the barbecue goes.
Yeah. So
I'm not drinking. I'm just letting you know so I can remember this picture.
So fine. I'm going to cut my talk because it's time. But the point is basically the following now. Imagine that here you have the Higgs. you are exactly localized the Higgs at this brain. It's model building, but you put the Higgs here. Okay? So basically, what you can see is that when in the phase that you have the infrared brain, you have a Higgs, and in this phase you have no Higgs because it's there. So you can imagine here you have to be in the unbroken phase where the vacuum speed is equivalent to the phase where the depth of the Higgs is zero. You have no Higgs. Here you are in the phase where the Higgs can acquire a depth depending on, and its value depends on the temperature. So the picture of why this stuff is connected to the electroweak phase transition is that basically I don't want to skip details that after confuse everything. But okay. Basically, the point is therefore the following. Imagine that you are a temperature at which this transition occurs, where you have, let's call this temperature critical nucleation temperature of the transition under syndrome until Schwarzschild. Fine. And imagine that you have this temperature smaller than than around 140 GeV. And what is this number? This number is basically the number at which the vacuum expectation value of the Higgs at this temperature is satisfies the condition VT over T larger than 1. Okay. So basically, the point is, if you are able to supercool the electroweak phase transition of the standard model, and below this temperature for the Higgs of 125 GeV, the transition, the vacuum expectation value of the Higgs satisfies this derivation. Is it? Because basically the critical temperature for the standard model, the electroweak phase transition, is 160 GeV around for 125 GeV. A rough estimate, but okay, doesn't change the result. So the point is the following. Imagine that now, you have the Higgs on the infrared brain, and imagine that now you have this transition from here to here at, for example, 90 GeV, 100 GeV.
So just to summarize, yeah. So the point is, yeah.
Thanks.
For Sphaleron quenching, you really in the standard model want to get the temperature low. And so you can't do that with a standard model only potential in 125 GeV Higgs. But if you start in the ADS phase, you can cook it up so that the transition to a geometry where you can even have a Higgs doesn't occur until you're low enough to turn off the Sphalerons.
Yes.
Not by the transition within the standard model occurring then, but by the existence of being in the standard model universe.
Yes.
Being at low enough temperature.
Yes. Thank you. I guess that. Yeah.
Okay.
So at this point, I just show you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So now there are details, right? But I just speak about that, though, these details. And basically, the point is that what are the results? Okay, we studied. What other people studying? Doesn't matter who did that. And the point is that you see that. There is a parameter region where the electroweak phase transition doesn't occur, because even at zero temperature, the action of the bounce is smaller than 140. Okay, with respect to the bubble, it's too small. So there is a parameter region where actually you don't have such a transition. So basically, you are again in this case, which is problematic. You have a different parameter region where this transition occurs at very low temperature. In this regime, basically, you are solving the problem, you have a strong first to the face transition. But okay, there is a second regime that you have to think that here you have a lot when the nucleation temperature is so small that actually the profile here is something like that. Okay, this one. Okay, you have a lot of difference of free energy, which means that reheating. Yes, I don't know what I want to call it. So. In such a case, okay, you have to worry about that. You have to calculate it, because clearly, maybe you can have a strong first phase transition, a little bit phase transition, but after that you have a reheating,
which is back on the spin
off. Yes, and you come back to the symmetric phase of the little bit phase transition. So, problematic. So basically, the game, the qualitative idea of the game is to be in the region where everything works. Or moreover, one other interesting point is that in any case, okay, maybe you're not getting you have a larger reheating, but there is one other feature of this transition. When you have a huge free energy difference, you are generating gravitational waves. So here, in the case where you have, roughly speaking, larger reheating, you have also production of gravitational waves, which is something that you can check at LISA. We calculate it, and it's in that regime. Other stuff. Well, how we were discussing the possibility of changing, right? Here, clearly, what I'm saying is calculated in a regime, first with Goldberg-Weiss and with Moldbeck reaction. So the first point, and we did, but who cares? Okay, it's true that if you go to the regime where you're accepting back reactions, you are enlarging the parameter space where you have the properties you want. Okay? Basically, a large back reaction improves a bit. Moreover, that's what I want to stress, is that, okay, now I didn't comment about constraints of colliders on, because, okay, you have some relations. But everything, what I said here, okay, I was plotting something for the particular case of Goldberg-Weiss, but I guess that the idea is quite general. So if you find a different way to localize the brain, in principle you can get different profiles, and where the situation changes. Okay, so the point is that basically what I wanted to sketch, and sorry for the time, is it seems to be a completely different idea to have a strong order phase transitions, electric phase transition. And details on the results depend on the details of how you set up the model. But it seems to me that it can be a generic features in several models, in several setups. So maybe it might be interesting. So thank you very much, and barbecue.
Which parameter sets the scale at which, in the broken case, the effective theory description in terms of the standard model breaks down?
The standard model. What does it mean that the standard model description breaks down?
Well, you use the arguments that in the broken case, you have the standard model, and you can calculate the effective
description
in the standard model rate in terms of the standard model. But the standard model is just an effective theory.
Ah, okay, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Here, basically, the picture is good as far as you have that mutef is much larger than the nucleation temperature. Because if you are starting at a very large temperature, you are in the thermal bath, you have also the Kaluza-Trenck
power. Right, the KK have to be integrated out.
Okay, so basically, the issue is that what I said is maybe correct. In the region where the temperature is more than mu tef, they call it the
Clinton. So that leads to another related question, which is, when you're in the broken phase and you're in the effective theory, you have the KK modes. Mm-hmm. I guess they're always so heavy compared to T that you don't have an effect on the effective potential in the broken phase.
Yeah, okay. In the paper of Lattazzi, they are discussing this point. Because actually, what you have here is that the Kaluza-Klein tower, the energy of the first reaction of the Kaluza-Klein tower is small. So basically, in this small regime, where of mu, right. Mu is small, actually maybe in the thermal bath you start having
effects. Yeah.
But OK, the point is that it's just very here and.
Anyway, Collider tells us it's, TEVs.
Yeah, but it's TV here. That's the point. When you are moving the radius of the large. But it's a it's a technical detail about the profile of free energy here. But sure, it's an issue.
So other questions, comments? Well, this is great. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. Sorry.